All right, double fries, no slaw. Sunday evening, the Noles are 2-0 after beating the heck out of Southern Miss last night. A fun game, a game that we'll talk about a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about what it means, some big takeaways, try and answer some of your questions, some of your thoughts, some super chats. Talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen going forward. Maybe give out some game balls. I don't know. Just kind of hang out. Have some fun. NFL's on right now, so if you're watching the NFL and you don't want to talk to us, that's fine too. Whatever you want to do. But some good 1 o'clock games. But, Richie, how's your weekend been?
Been good, man. Florida State comes out with a big win. They, you know, it's funny to say that we'll talk about it. It didn't look great, but the final score was dominant. The Bucs surprisingly went 1-0, and I don't know how to feel about that because I want a high draft pick, to be honest. But man, the game of the day for me was Texas beating Alabama, and we'll talk about that as well, what it meant for Florida State. Wife not happy, but she is happy that the Saints won. So overall, a pretty good, productive football weekend in the Barnes household.
Yeah, it's good stuff. A lot of good games yesterday, a lot of fun stuff out of the weekend. But let's talk about the Noles. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. I got a video from somebody there at FSU. It's the Guthrie's red zone now. So John Guthrie's doing some big stuff there in Tallahassee. Florida State beats Southern Miss. Kind of a, I don't know, slow start, sloppy start. Not the most crisp, not the sharpest. But they kind of motored through that, right? So, somewhat sloppy. Did it feel like to you? What do you think it was, Richie? Like, do you feel like they were? I don't think trying too hard is the right answer. They didn't look crisp to start, and you don't love that just due to playing, you know, a pretty inferior opponent. But thoughts on just kind of starting a little bit sloppy?
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night when we did the preview, but I really do think there's something about playing on a Sunday to turn around on a Saturday. You know, these aren't professionals. Like, they're used to a very regimented Saturday, Saturday, Saturday type games. And, you know, typically when you play on Thursday, you have a bye the week before. I do think that played a role. You know, they didn't have a normal practice schedule. It just didn't look clean and crisp from the start. And I think that played a big role in it. Look at Clemson versus Charleston Southern, right? They go to halftime up 24-17, and then you look at the final score, and if you didn't watch that Clemson game, you're like, oh my goodness, Clemson, they're back. They took care of business. I don't know. It's just weird. I do think there's something to say about these, you know, short weeks, and I expect a much more clean, dominant Florida State team against Boston College come Saturday afternoon.
I think so. I think the short week played an impact. I also think there was just so much. There's so much excitement coming off the LSU win, and you knew that there was going to be a lot of emotion. First time in Doak for a lot of these guys. First time in Doak, even for the returning guys, in 10 months. Yes. You know, pretty special atmosphere. The LED lights look cool, so I enjoyed seeing some stuff with that. I got sent some pictures with the red, white, and blue, which was really, really cool for the anthem and just whatever. But yeah, started slow, but really pushed through that. What did you think about Norvell's willingness to go for it pretty consistently on fourth down?
Yeah, man, I wasn't surprised. Like, every fourth down, fourth and five from midfield, like, we're going for it. I think that's what he's going to do. It'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, in 10 days or whatever it may be, or 8 days when we play Clemson, or I don't know, 13 days when we play Clemson, and the other games in Miami, you know, we'll talk about them in a little bit too. That looks like that could be a bit of a challenge, but I was not surprised. You know, last year he went for it on fourth down all the time. I think he's one of the most aggressive coaches in college football when it comes to fourth down. The numbers suggest they weren't very good last year, but yesterday they were really good. Again, at Southern Mississippi, we'll see what happens when it is a Clemson, a Miami, a Florida, at Pitt late November, whoever it may be. But I was not surprised, and I like the aggressiveness. You know, you don't have a Roberto Aguayo back there, so he's playing a numbers game. And in his mind, I think that also shows how much he trusts this defense now. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, hate throwing towards Adam Fuller's way, but I think he's got his defense playing at a very high level last week and this week. You know, take away the last touchdown. They only, that game's 45-17 last week. And this week, they were dominant. You know, I don't know how many good offenses we're going to play, but yeah, I think Mike Norvell has a lot of faith in Adam Fuller in that defense right now, and I think that plays a role as well.
Yeah, I thought some of the fourth down calls, some of them definitely were just like right on the edge there where you're not going to kick a long field goal. Some of them seemed like they were frustration going for it, right? Like Mike was like pissed with how the team had played on that drive, how they had played and maybe in that series. And it was like, listen, you MFs, you're going to go out there and get that first down. And if it takes you all four plays against freaking you know, Southern Miss, then that is what we're going to go do. And so that's what some of it felt like to me. The guys I was with had a good time last night, but the guys I was with had, they were like, man, is Nor like this guy call like Norvell's, you know, wife out or something? Like, well, you know, what is going on? Why is Mike so mad at him? And again, I don't think it was, I think Norvell knew he could get it. I think he was frustrated with how they were playing. I think there's, you know, Fitz has been good so far this year, but I think there's also like, do you want to put him in situations where you don't need to, you know, have the field goal or whatever? And at the same time, like, you just know you can go get it. And so you just kind of like do that. I didn't think he was frustrated, or I didn't think he was trying to like show them up at all, but it definitely was interesting to see him continue to go for it over and over and over and over and again on fourth down. The other thing that was really interesting in the first half, what'd you think about the onside kick? You think that's, would you, against Southern Miss? I've got a theory, but I want to hear yours first.
I'm not mad at it. And, you know, it's one of those things like you see it happen. You're like, oh, we really just did that. I'm okay with it. And the funny thing is Mike Norvell, I believe, has a relationship with Southern Miss's head coach. So that they know each other. And I don't think it was personal by any means, but you got to practice everything because there might be a game down the line. Look, TJ, I think you and I are on the same page here. This is now playoff or bust at this point in the season. Yeah. After two games, it's wild to say, but we've seen how Clemson looked through eight quarters against Duke and Charleston Southern. This season is now playoff or bust for Florida State. You need to rep everything and get live game reps. So I'm okay with it. It surprised me a little bit, but I'm not mad at Mike at all for doing that.
Yeah, I my thought with that, and this was my take on it last night, and you know, I haven't asked Mike Norvell this, and I don't think he would answer it directly anyway. But my thought was, if you do that and you put that on film, even if Clemson just spends 30 minutes preparing for that, that's 30 minutes that they're not spending on something else. And so I haven't spoken with Mike Norvell. He hasn't told me that, but I think that kind of tracks. I think that kind of makes sense. I think you also, you know, if Clemson, if you run 6 fourth down plays and you're Clemson now, you have to prepare for all of those. Yep. You have to now, that is now on film of, hey, Mike Norvell, I mean, and first of all, you can't catch a tendency because they ran 18 fourth down plays. So you don't know what he likes to do in that situation. So now they got to prepare for the onside kick. Then they got to prepare for the fourth down stuff that they may or may not get and what those plays might look like. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was Mike Norvell just wanting to keep it going, wanting to, you know, train score as many points as he could, try to get his starters out. I think it probably had to do with all of that, but I do think that's kind of an interesting way to look at it is the potential of trying to put a little bit more on Clemson's plate and trying to have them work a little bit less on something else by preparing for an onside kick that Florida State will probably not even kick against them. So, okay, I want to ask you this, and then I need to flip over off of this Wi-Fi, but I'll let you roll for a minute. We'll go to the half 31-3 and probably hadn't played, I mean, no, not probably, hadn't played a very crisp game, hadn't played a very clean game, and you look up and it's 31-3 at halftime. How impressive is it that this team can be a decently good group of five team handily when they're not playing their best game, and you go to the half 31-3. I'll let you roll, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, I think it was very impressive, actually, because this is a team that they're probably going to a bowl, right? Southern Miss is, you know, that defensive line is really good. They're not, they would not be the worst defensive line in the ACC. They are a very good team for their level, not on the national stage, but for where they play, they're a good team. They're going to go bowling this year. They're going to have a chance to win that bowl game. But for Florida State to not play great and still somehow have a dominant first half where you're up by 28 points. Remember, guys, the spread was 31.5, and Florida State damn near had that covered at halftime, and it was easily covered, you know, by the end of the third quarter. Played four quarterbacks, I think it was. My goodness, I mean, that just shows this team. Again, I did not expect them to come out with their A game. That last week was emotional, and it was a lot to take out of a, you know, a bunch of 18 to 25 year old kids at Florida State. But man, it was exciting. It showed that they do care. They can play not well and still be dominant. And that's what we saw at, you know, that 2013 Boston College game, right? We play BC this week. That's a game where Florida State really struggled, but at the end of the day, they're like, oh my goodness. Then the next week you beat Maryland 63-0 in Doak when Bobby came back. Man, I cannot wait, because I think Florida State is going to dominate BC again. And this is all just building up to Clemson, right? I don't think Clemson will be a walk in the park like a lot of Florida State fans think right now based on these first 2 weeks. I do think Clemson has a lot of talent. But Florida State has shown me through eight quarters that they could potentially go up there and somewhat replicate that 2013 game up in Death Valley Junior.
I definitely think there's a chance, you know, and we'll talk about Clemson over a lot of these next 2 weeks, certainly a little more next week than we do this week. But I think there's a chance of it. Now, I agree. I do think Clemson's going to play a little bit better. You know, I don't know that they're a great team right now, but they had a good second half yesterday. And so I think that they have the propensity to get a little bit better. And I think that'll be a good game. That I think it could be similar to the LSU game where Florida State kind of wins it. Going away. So, all right, 31-3 at halftime. We get to the second half, and the second half start could not have been quicker. Like, it could not have been, you know, a minute goes by with Southern Miss going three and out. We score a touchdown in under a minute. A couple plays later, pick six. 2 minutes later, they're punting again, and then on the very next play, we have a 42-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden, 5 minutes of game time has gone by. And you've gone from 31-3 at halftime, thinking that you're struggling, thinking that things are going slow, and it's all of a sudden 52-3 with 25 minutes left to go in the game. And it just kind of was the reminder of like, yeah, holy crap. When this team, and again, I understand the opponent. I understand, I'll say this, it wasn't McNeese State that we were playing. Little better than that. But it was the reminder of like, holy crap, this team can do some ridiculous things when they start clicking and they start gelling. How many times, Richie, and I know you don't know the answer to this, but I'd imagine that it's not many. How many times do you think a team has kicked off the ball in the second half and scored three touchdowns before 5 minutes had passed? Like, didn't get the ball first. I mean, how many times do you think a team has kicked off, or I mean, sorry, received the kick and scored three touchdowns before a minute had gone by? Or 5 minutes. I doubt that's happened often, but yeah, really, really impressive to see how quickly they could turn it on, how quickly they could get it going. It kind of reminds you of the fast-paced Warriors offense from a few years ago, where it was just like they'd be down by 18 or something, and then Curry would just hit like five threes and be like, oh, they're right back in it. So anyway, thoughts on the quick start in the second half?
Yeah, you had 2012 Clemson vibes, right? When Clemson's up 28-14 in Doak and Florida State just reels off 35 straight. I think that's what this team can do all season long, TJ. This team, this offense specifically, is ridiculous. And can we just go ahead and talk about it right now? The Keon Coleman hurdle.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, my goodness. Like, I know he didn't score. I wish he did, because he was so close to getting in the end zone there. But that's what this Florida State team is. Keon Coleman catches the ball, sheds a tackler, jumps straight over a SMU defender, or a Southern Miss defender, and barely gets tackled, and then he gets the touchdown. Shout out Mike for letting Keon finish that drive off. But my goodness, this offense is just going to be so fun. They will be slow at times, and that's any offense in college football or NFL if you've watched any today. But they're going to have a 10 to 20 minute point stretch in any game where they're putting up 28, 35 points, and that's what teams have to worry about. And if I'm a defensive coordinator preparing for Florida State, you know, I'm not sleeping the night before the game because how do I stop all of these dudes? You just can't. It's impossible.
Yeah. I remember Erin Andrews interviewed Coach Bowden one time, and she said, Coach, how do you get your guys to stop holding? And he was like, I don't know, go in there and pray or something. And so, like, that's what I feel like opposing defensive coordinators have to do with Florida State's offense. Shout out Coach Bowden. Like, I don't know how you stop it. You just pray, right? So, yeah. I don't know. Like, that's a tough spot to be in. Keon definitely looked like he was pissed off during that. It got hit a little bit late out of bounds the couple plays before that. And it looked like, I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't have done it if he hadn't got hit like that, you know, a play or two earlier, but he looked like he was pissed off. It reminded me of LeGarrette Blount doing that for the Bucs. You remember when he used to do that for the Bucs? Just like, he had like six hurdles in 1 year. Way too much fun there. So, all right, some takeaways.
Do you think Alex Atkins sent him a text on his Apple Watch, said, hey,
yeah.
as we're cheating to win another game.
Hey, would you mind jumping over this guy? So, all right, some quick kind of like, takeaways, thoughts, you know, after 52-3, I mean, completely garbage time at that point, with 25 minutes to go in the game, really didn't want the starters to play the second half, but got up 52-3 with a lot of time left. And so, I think they did pretty well to put that to bed. You know, that wasn't too bad. I remember those old, you know, that's kind of what would happen in 2013. Remember you'd play about 5 minutes into the second half because, that's, you know, how long one drive took. In that Jimbo offense. Well, now you can score three times in 5 minutes and you're good to go. You can go back to the shower and go back to the locker room. So some quick thoughts. Brock Glenn came in for a really nice run. He was scooting. He looked really comfortable out there. Didn't have any passing attempts, but really like to see him get out there and move it. Marquise and Douglas with a nice touchdown catch and run. Tate getting in. Tate was 3 for 3 for 70-some yards. I thought he was good. Trey Benson started a little slow, I thought, but ended up with a super long touchdown run. He had the fourth down touchdown run. He had the one in close. So three touchdowns and a pretty nice little night for Trey Benson. I thought that when Trey was a little slow to start, dancing a little bit too much in the hole, I thought Lawrence Toafili was a really nice change of pace for them. I thought he was exactly what they needed in that running game, throwing the ball out of the backfield when Trey was a little bit slow. To start, I thought Keziah Holmes looked really, really good. It was good to see all three freshman wide receivers out there making plays. Destin Hill had a catch. Hakeem Williams had a catch. Dre Jacobs had a touchdown catch. You mentioned the Keon kind of play of the day. I thought about the Jordan Travis 40-50-yard run to get 10 yards on fourth down. Obviously, that video game, Johnny Manziel type stuff, Patrick Mahomes type stuff, probably isn't going to work against some of your ACC opponents, but it was fun to watch last night. You mentioned the Keon hurdle. That was the most impressive play from Keon for me. But what was second most was on the really long touchdown run by Benson. Keon was like down there on the 10-yard line, like blocking his tail off. And I think that's really impressive. The guy is, you know, between him and Verse, probably the most talented, physically athletic guy on the field, right? Like, nobody would be like, hey, why wasn't Keon blocking as much? You know, I mean, Norvell would, but nobody in our fan base is going to be like, hey, why isn't Keon blocking as much? No, I don't care. I don't care if Keon blocks. Like, go out there and protect. And I do, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't.
Be out there and be a star and stuff like that. So the fact that he is sold out there in a game you're up by like 50 and blocking his tail off, I thought that was really, really impressive and really speaks to the buy-in, the culture. The guy's going in the first round and out there busting his butt. And it, you know, it's easy to, nobody talks about culture when you're winning, right? You always talk about culture when you're losing and, oh, the culture's good. We're going to turn around. But that is evidence of it. That is evidence that Mike really does have these guys bought in. Again, kid's going first round. And he is busting his butt down there. I thought that was one of the more impressive plays of the night and something that you could very easily miss. So that was big. Defense did what they needed to do. I thought they were really good. Only two sacks on the night, but I thought the pressure was phenomenal all evening. Really is what forced a couple of bad throws. The interception, the Conrad Hussey almost interception, which I don't know how that didn't get reviewed and looked at. And then, you know, biggest negative of the night, I obviously think, you know, Johnny Wilson struggled a little bit. I think you'd want that against a game like this. Hopefully you can kind of get that worked out, some kinks. But some big thoughts there, some kind of bullet points that wanted to run through. I know I ran through about 8 of them, 10 of them, 12 of them there, right there at one time. But any thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one, and, you know, again, 66-13, my goodness, you took care of business. But yeah, if this team wants to fulfill the ultimate goal, right? We want to win the ACC. We want to go to the College Football Playoff, and we want to have a fighting chance in the national championship game. Johnny Wilson has to clean that up. You know, he made a few amazing catches, but you have to make those routine catches. You know, Keon Coleman doesn't have that problem, and it's nice to have a guy like that as your true number one. But if Johnny Wilson can turn into what Kelvin Benjamin was in 2013 and just be a sure-handed guy to throw jump balls to it and just make big plays, nobody's stopping this offense. So I do think Johnny, you know, didn't have a terrible game, but he had drops, and we all noticed it. And going back to your point about Keziah Holmes, this might be the deepest running back room in the country, and I don't say that jokingly. There are so many good guys. You talked about Tua Philly. Everybody knows about Benson. Rodney Hill is a beast. He's going to be a star before he leaves Florida State. Man, I'm just excited. I cannot wait for BC to get here and then Clemson, because I want to see, can we go out and do against Clemson? And we're going to talk plenty about Clemson guys coming up, but that's where my mind's at right now. And hopefully the team is not thinking what I'm thinking. They need to go dominate Boston College. But yeah, I'm only thinking about Clemson right now.
Florida State opened up as a 25-point favorite against them. On the road, BC is not good. They barely survive.
Terrible environment as well. I've been to Boston. It's terrible.
So the stadium or the – I love the stadium.
No, the stadium. The city is awesome.
Oh, I was going to say it's more awesome. Like, I was going to say it's one of my favorite cities in the country. I was like, no, bro, you got to go back with me because you did it wrong.
No. The city was amazing. I went there for a bachelor party for that – what year was that? Yeah, the 2014 season. And then I'm actually have a bachelor party in Orlando next week for BC. Thankfully I only have to sleep like 5 miles from my house. So that'll be nice.
So I enjoy Boston College, I enjoyed Boston. I've never been.
Yeah. Boston's awesome. The environment there is terrible.
So Florida State got to figure out how to get through it. And I like the noon kickoff. I'll say that, you know, I like that. I like the way that they, we'll get that game over with, and then we'll just get to kind of enjoy the rest of college football that day and start getting ready for Clemson. But yeah, you could probably go out and play a C game and win it, you know, going away 20-ish points. Yeah. You probably win it. You could that and not that you want this, but you could probably go play a D game and win by 7 or 10, you know, maybe more. I just think they're that talented, but yeah, it all kind of comes down to, you know, getting revenge against Clemson, and you probably got a better chance now than you did 2 weeks ago, and you got a better chance 2 weeks ago than you have had in probably the last 7 or 8 years. So we will certainly talk about Clemson a ton. Obviously, a lot of concern, a lot of question around a couple of guys that got banged up or didn't play last night. We'll talk about that as soon as we give some love to let's do prize picks. Harlan, prize picks. The best way to get action on games where in states like Florida, California, Texas, Georgia, I don't know where you're watching from. Most of you are probably here in Florida, but I know you guys all try to make money on the NFL and college football. PrizePicks is a daily fantasy game where you select entries on player projections. For each player that you select, you either pick more or less than the stats that they're projected for. So Jordan Travis is projected for 300 yards. You pick more or less. Trey Benson is selected or projected for 75 yards. You pick more or less. You pair them together. You compare anywhere from 2 to 6 players together. They have a good one going for Dak right now where it's more or less than half a yard. Use our code DFNS when you sign up for Prize Picks. You'll get a 100% match up to $100. It's a fun app. We've all been playing this weekend. Got some wins, got some losses on the book already, but excited to continue to work with Prize Picks. Go check them out. And use our code if you haven't to get a little bit of a bonus from us. All right, Richie, kind of wraps up Southern Miss. Ultimately, you did what you needed to do. You weren't super sharp. But again, I don't know how much that matters. You went out, took care of business, won the game. I think there's some negativity out there. There's some questioning. There's some wishing that we would have, I guess, looked better. You know, I guess people wanted 85-0. I get that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you weren't your sharpest. You played on a short week. You played on a quick week. You turned around quickly. You had a couple of starting offensive linemen out. You had a safety go out pretty early. And you still, for all intent and purposes, dominated the heck out of it. There's a super chat, Harlan.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win. Knowles win.
just got distracted. Let's see what this says. Any truth to the rumor Jimbo's holiday decorations are already out on the street? Jennifer Williams. Oof. Thank you for the love, Jennifer. It's very much appreciated. Yeah. All right. I got to talk about Texas A&M here in a minute, Richie, because that was something to behold, a sight for sore eyes, as some would say. But I certainly never want to cheer for Miami, but watching Jimbo lose this weekend was pretty hilarious. So, all right, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But ultimately, you did what you needed to do against Southern Miss. You could have been sharper. You could have been cleaner. But at the end of the day, you won 66-13. Like, how much? I don't know what people really want at this point. So,
and it's not an FCS school. It's a legit G5
team program that's going to go bowling. Yeah, like, come on. All right, let's talk a little Texas A&M. Let's talk about some of these other games that happened, how it impacted Florida State. We can start with that one. Texas A&M against Miami. So what part of that is that game Miami being much improved, and how much of it is A&M just still sucks from last year?
I think Miami is a lot better, honestly. I think Tyler Van Dyke has really got some of that confidence back from 2 years ago. Last year, I just think he was lost. And I think Miami has a really good offensive line, and they showed it against a really good Texas A&M, a really talented Texas A&M defensive line. I think Miami's a good team. I think I'll say this right now. I think Miami's the toughest team left on the schedule to include Clemson based on 2 weeks of the season. I truly believe that. I'm glad we get him in Doak. I think Clemson's still the most talented, but Miami, they have the pieces. Last year, it was weird for them, right? Like, we knew Van Dyke was good, or he showed it his freshman year. And then last year, it was weird. And all Florida State fans is remembering Mario sending out a concussed Van Dyke out against Florida State, which he never should have done. But yeah, I think that's going to be the toughest game left on our schedule. Even though we play at Death Valley, in the time of the game of Florida State at Clemson, we'll play a role in that. If it's an 8 o'clock ABC game, which it probably will be, then yeah, Clemson's probably the toughest game. But Miami's the one game that's going to be very difficult that I did not expect it to be heading into the season.
Yeah, I think that game is going to be tougher. You know, and I've thought some of the other games on our schedule are probably getting easier.
Yeah.
You know, easy is a tough way to say it. But yeah, I thought Miami looked better. I still thought that A&M at times kind of did what they wanted. And I think that I think that Miami is better, but A&M is still just truly trash. You know, I still think Miami's going to kind of show themselves at times and not going to be able to do. Like, they're not going to be able to do that on us, right? Like, no, I think our defense is so much
better. They're not scoring 40-plus on us.
A&M was really just disappointing. And really, they shouldn't even have been, you know, if not for a muffed punt and some other stuff, like, they're not even in that game anyway. So, you know, I don't know. I think Miami is improved from last year. I think a lot of that has to do with the offensive line getting better. I think that Tyler Van Dyke is playing better this year. He's obviously a little more healthy than he was last year. That helps a ton, but I'm not sold on Miami. I think they played a really good game yesterday. I think they took advantage of a very mediocre Texas A&M team that's probably going to win six-ish games. You know, Miami was very much in that game last year. If not for a couple of muffed punts, Miami probably beats Texas A&M last year. And so Miami looked better. They looked better overall. But I'm not sold on them being back by any means. I think that, you know,
they're not back. No, no.
They needed to. Last year, they didn't capitalize on A&M being bad, and this year they did. A&M's just still bad. I think people thought, like, oh, A&M will turn it around. A&M will get better this year. A&M will. They couldn't have 2 years like that in a row with all the recruits. And I think what you're going to find out is they are going to have 2 years in a row like that. So that's one to kind of keep out an eye for as Florida State has them on the schedule. Another one that I watched, I don't know if you watched any of this, but I did catch the highlights. I catch the condensed replay. Pittsburgh may not be as challenging of a game as maybe we thought at one point. They lost by 7 to Cincinnati, but they were getting blown out. They had a couple of fourth quarter touchdowns to get back into it. They outscored Cincinnati 14-0 in the fourth quarter to get it closer. But I, you know, and I think that whether I think that time of year, I think that health, injuries, things like that could impact it. But again, Cincinnati went on the road and was winning this thing 27-7 with 15 minutes to go. And again, Pittsburgh did kind of roar back, but I don't know that that's a team that worries me as much. You talk about some of the games that, and it is 1 week, I'll give them that. But I don't know that Pittsburgh worries me as much as they did earlier in the year. We'll see. I'm not as sold on Pittsburgh. I've never really been too scared of Phil Dracovic. I think that Florida State kind of owns him, and Pittsburgh will be an interesting team to kind of watch how they play through the year. I think they're always going to play hard, but they got to go to West Virginia this week. They play North Carolina soon. They play Notre Dame the week before they play us on the road. And then obviously they have us. And so how much will they really have to play for late in the year? We'll see. Pittsburgh may be a team that I'm not as concerned with today as I was 2 weeks ago or a week ago. I just don't think that they're as good as we maybe thought. Did you catch any of that one or any thoughts on Pitt?
I saw a few highlights, and if you remember 2 weeks ago, we did our, you know, wins and losses prediction show, and I had Florida State going 11-1 with their one loss at Pittsburgh. I wish I could have that back, because I do not think
that I wasn't going to call you out for that. I wasn't going to bring it up.
I'll call myself out because I deserve it for that, but I do not think that will be the case. You know, Phil Jurkovic is he's a good quarterback. He really is. But the way he plays, there's a chance he's going to be really banged up by the time Florida State heads up there. You know, the weather's going to be cold, but it's not going to be like, you know, Notre Dame 2018 cold when I went up there with the buddies. My goodness, 24 degrees at kickoff. I remember that. Pitt, they've been disappointing. And again, it's so early in the season. We love to overreact, and that's just what we do as people who follow the sport and do a show like this twice a week. But man, I'm looking at the schedule. I still think there's a good chance somewhere along the way Florida State drops a game. I no longer think Pittsburgh is that game. Clemson, maybe Miami, I don't know. If they beat Clemson and Miami, Florida State's going 12-0 in my opinion.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting. Let's give Eddie some love. Go ahead, Eddie.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
Yeah, it's hard to find that loss right now. Insert Cole Hain clip here, Harlan. Go Noles. Thank you, Eddie.
Love it.
Appreciate it, buddy. It's still hard to see it outside of Clemson. And I know that we will certainly talk about Clemson a ton over these next couple of weeks. But it's hard to see another loss outside of them. I still think Florida's a dumpster fire. I think we're still a good two or three touchdowns better than Miami. I think that Pittsburgh is less impressive than you would think. I don't think Wake Forest is very good, but I know that's one that maybe you'd kind of like be like, I still think you're a lot more talented than Duke. We just got a comment about Duke right here. I still think you're just a lot more talented than them. I think you're going to beat them down pretty bad in the trenches. And so, I don't know. Things could happen. We're only two games in, but a sixth of the way through the season, I feel really good about the Noles' path to get to where they need to get to. Not on our schedule anymore, but NC State got whipped by Notre Dame. Boston College, we just mentioned, barely beat Holy Cross. I would expect that BC game is very similar to yesterday. I'm not necessarily saying we score 66 on the road, but I do expect Florida State to win that handily. I would not be shocked if several quarterbacks got into that game. What's really interesting is, do they try to conserve red shirts and stuff, right? If Brock plays in these first two games, that pretty well limits him going forward, and you're probably going to want to use him a lot in that Northern Illinois game at the end of the year. So that would probably mean he only has one more to play in for the rest of the year. But Boston College is really bad. I think Syracuse and Virginia Tech are really bad. So he could end up playing in both of those games and then not playing at Northern Illinois. I don't know how much red shirts really matter anymore. Guys, if they're good, they don't stay in college 5 years anyway. But I would think that Florida State would like to preserve a red shirt for him if they can. But BC, not a super tough opponent. And then the last game, not on the schedule, not in conference, but we'll talk about this. You alluded to it with Lindsay. Bama didn't look like Bama. And Texas looked good, but Bama just didn't look like Bama. And I think Milroe's just not very good. But Bama loses, and that allows Florida State to get up to number 3 in the rankings. Richie, when was the last time we were number 3 in the rankings? You remember?
2017 preseason before a game was even played. Yeah. And then that went downhill real quick.
And I think the last time we were number three before that was like in
2014.
The midst of the season would have been 2014. Maybe, you know, when we started in 2016, I don't know where we were, how high we got up that year. But that, you know, that was maybe the other one I was thinking of. I'll actually look now that we're talking about it.
We might have been two or three, but that's when Louisville just destroyed us.
That was not a good... I think we were top 10. I don't think we were like top three going into Louisville. So, yeah, highest ranking.
I think we might have been number two, actually, heading into that game. Oh, look that up.
That's gross.
Yeah, FSU. It was bad. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I was watching the game with Lindsay on the couch, you know, and luckily we have the ESPN app, so we had the...
Eight. We were eight.
Whew. We were eight? Oh, man, I thought we were much higher. But, yeah, we had the Alabama game, you know, come 8:30, had the Florida State game, and I had the audio on the Alabama game most of it. But, man, that game, I don't think, I think Florida State beats Texas if they play today. I think they beat Alabama. Georgia's the only team in the country right now, and maybe it's because I've been having a couple IPAs, I don't know. There's not another team in the country outside of Georgia that I say, yeah, they're going to beat us if we play them. No, I think we beat anyone. And Georgia's the one team that gives me hesitation just because they've done it 2 years in a row. They've won, 19 games in a row, and they have stacked elite talent on top of elite talent over the years.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this, and we made it the thumbnail, and we made it kind of the theme of what we're doing tonight. But, you know, a lot of people give a lot of credit to the fact of what teams have done in the past. And Richie, I know I'm a homer. I'm drinking out of an FSU cup, and you know, like, so here, you know, I get it. But are there any two more impressive teams in this country than Florida State and Texas right now?
Based on resume, no. I'm going March Madness style, right? Let's look at the blind resumes, right? If you put the blind resumes up there, you are not going to find a more impressive two teams through 2 weeks, granted, than Florida State and Texas. You just won't. And the season, there's 10 more weeks, 11 more weeks to be played if you count the bye week. But no, yeah, Florida State and Texas right now, how fun would that national championship game be? Oh, two massive goodness. Brands. Like, get me on a plane to Houston, and guess what? Florida State would be 50-50 fans there, despite being in their home state. Like, this season is setting up beautifully. We're going to destroy Boston College. We'll talk about it. We're going to destroy Boston College next weekend. And then, again, if we do what I think we're going to do to Clemson, this is going to be a fun season, y'all. It's going to be a really fun season.
And now, okay. So I know that it's always like, you know, when the shoe's on the other foot, right, to be cliche. Remember in 2014, we were pissed off that, like, a team could move ahead of us when we hadn't lost in however many games, 20-something games.
Yeah.
And so I get that with Georgia and Michigan. But – and I'm not trying to, you know, really moan and complain and whine about not being number one. I don't know that I care that much. But I don't know that anybody convinced me that Florida State's not the best team in the country right now. And the way that they're playing, where they played a very mediocre first half last night and they led 31-3, and then they played a good second half and ended up scoring 66 points. I think that, you know, when you look at what they've done, the way that they've dominated both games, I really think the Noles are probably the most impressive team in the country. I've got a lot of respect for people that are AP poll voters like Brett McMurphy, and they rank FSU number one.
Yeah. Reese Davis. Yeah.
It's not about what you did last year. And I don't believe that you can look at Florida State's games and look at UGA's games or Michigan's games and say, oh yeah, Georgia is definitively better because they beat Ball State and UT Martin. Florida State scored the same amount on LSU that UGA scored on Ball State, and, you know, scored more on Southern Miss, who is also better than UT Martin, than UGA did on them. So anyway, I think that, you know, now again, Georgia and Florida State line it up. Oddsmakers probably have UGA as like a 7-point favorite, in my opinion, right now. I don't think it's two scores. I don't think that they would give Florida State a 2-score cushion. That'd be an interesting thing to try and find out what that hypothetical would be. But I think the Noles are in a in a good spot right now. I think they've been the most impressive team in the country. I think Texas would be right behind them. And like you said, they go out and take care of business this weekend against Boston College, and then they have an opportunity to go out and whether Clemson's – well, we barely talked about Clemson. Whether Clemson's ranked or not at that point, I think Clemson still kind of gets the respect.
It's still a statement game. Yeah.
Yeah. They go out and beat Clemson by any score, honestly, but they go out and beat Clemson by a good number, 14 or more, which I think they're fully capable of doing. Florida State's, you know, I already think that they're back. I already think they're for real. I don't really know that they have to go do that, but Florida State probably jumps at that point. And so, what are your thoughts on Clemson getting knocked out of the poll? They played a bad first half, but they still scored 60. They still scored like the same thing we did. We jumped up on it. I get they played a bad first half, but it's kind of crazy to win a game by 50-something and lose and drop out of the rankings. That would I hate this conference, but that would never happen to the SEC. No SEC team is scoring 60 points and getting dropped out of the rankings ever.
I think they had an unfortunate time slot yesterday where that was one of the few intriguing games. If you weren't watching Nebraska-Colorado, if you're an ACC fan, you're probably watching Clemson-Charleston Southern just because of the score when you realized, oh my God, it's 14-14. So unfortunately, a lot of people probably just saw the first half, then forgot about it, and didn't even see the final score. So yeah. That's probably why they dropped down so much. Shout out Prime, man. And Shedeur Sanders is good. I'm sorry, that kid is a really good college quarterback. But yeah, Clemson, I think the time slot hurt them. If they had played at 8 o'clock, nobody probably watches that game and they wake up and see the final score like, oh yeah, let's make them number 22. But they were a victim of that time slot. And I think that's partially what makes them dangerous in 2 weeks when we play them is, you know, hey, let's show them Clemson football ain't done. It's up for us to say, hey, y'all are done. Florida State is taking this conference back for the next year or two that we're in here. And it's up to y'all to figure everything out after that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that, you know, I think it was almost going to be not easy, but like it was almost going to be like, man, how does Clemson manage this? And like Dabo has like the perfect sell for his team right now. And it is truly like, listen, guys, you've won 7 in a row. Listen, guys, you're the kings of this conference. Listen, guys, Florida State's not on your level yet. They still haven't recruited like you. They have in the portal, obviously. And now Dabo gets to add in like nobody believes in you and you're playing at home where you never lose and blah, blah, blah. Like I think it is setting up very well for Clemson to come out and play their best game of the year and Dabo to have them super motivated. And all that said, I don't think it matters one bit. Florida State's going to beat the hell out of them. So I think that is extra motivation for Clemson. I think that's an extra little feather in their cap. And I still like the Noles to kick their tail. So, quick thoughts. We talked a little bit about it. Obviously, number 3 in the rankings behind UGA, Michigan, Texas, right there at number 4. Again, I'd probably have FSU 1, Texas 2, and then the rest of it you figure it out yourself. Quick thoughts on Boston College. I mean, just anything at all worry? I mean, we'll preview it on Wednesday night. Make sure you're subscribed if you guys are not already. I see the folks down there telling you to hit the like button too. So hit the like button. But if you're not subscribed, which about 60% of you that watch these every Sunday and Wednesday are not subscribed, go ahead and do that for me and hit that button. But Richie, any worries on Boston College at all? Like just coming out and laying an egg or playing weird or just anything? Can we create some kind of drama around this game?
To quote Mike Norvell, no. I have no worries about Boston College at all. There's a reason you're a 28.5-point favorite. Fun fact, Clemson's only favored by 24 against FAU. So Florida State's a bigger favorite over BC than Clemson is over FAU this week. Yeah, I'm not worried. And we'll talk more. We'll break it down a little bit Wednesday night, 7 p.m. right here on this YouTube channel. Please like and subscribe, guys. It means so much to us. You don't even know. But yeah, I'm not worried about Boston College at all. I just can't not wait for that game. It's going to be a long day. I'm doing a bachelor party, TJ. I'm playing golf at Orange County National 7 o'clock in the morning. Then I got the Florida State game. Then we're going to the Orlando City game. We got a club suite for the Orlando City soccer game. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but long story short, not worried about BC at all.
You guys hear Richie trying to get sympathy for playing golf in the morning and sitting in a suite. You guys heard that? He's trying to get sympathy. Hey, man, I got to play golf in the morning. Then I got to watch the Noles win by about 60. And then we got to go sit in a suite for the Orlando, you know, like world's smallest violin over here for, you know, y'all pray for Richie. Make the hashtag prayers for Richie on this podcast, Harlan. I don't know. Probably not a lot of suspense, not a lot of drama about it. There's been some questions around some guys that were banged up, hurt, injured. Sorry, I missed that earlier. Akeem Dent, it looked like a hamstring to me. I would imagine that you leave him out this weekend. I think that Conrad Hussey went in and played really well. I think that Barker came in. I think that you've got some guys, some young guys that you can get experience. Leave him out, let him rest up, get him back for Clemson would be the MO there, in my opinion. Maurice Smith, Robert Scott, I'd leave them out for these next 2 weeks too. Maurice Scott was a little bit banged up going into the LSU game. You could kind of see he was favoring his side on during that LSU game. If you watch back on the replay, I think I would leave him out. And first of all, you get him a little more healed up. You also get Washington more experience snapping the ball. I think that's a very added, key advantage or key kind of, strength that you're going to need just in case Smith has to go out at some point during this year. And then Scott has been in a boot. You guys probably saw that, but I like Byers and Bless in at the tackle spots. Anyway, I really do like Rob Scott. Like, that's nothing against him, but if he's not 100%, if he can't go fully, which I don't know how 100% he was going into that LSU game. Again, I think you leave those guys out. You've got so much depth there on the offensive line. Some of the young guys got in and played really, really well as well. But I would get those guys as much rest as you could. I think you could, in all honesty, hopefully you're getting rest for most of your guys on the team by about halftime this week anyway. But I would leave those guys out. I wouldn't play them. And then, going back to Johnny Wilson, talk about this, and then Richie will wrap up here in a minute. Going back to Johnny Wilson, I think it's not a good problem to have, right? Like, you'd rather Johnny just be 100% catching the ball, good to go. Like, of course, right? Like, so I'm not trying to put a super positive spin on him dropping the ball a few times. A couple of them were nice breakups by the defender. I'll say that. Like, I'll give him a little bit of grace on that. But I'll tell you this, I think a lot of that's mental. Certainly not physical. The guy is super strong, super big, super athletic, super talented. And so I'll tell you, I'd rather that happen against Southern Miss. I'd rather that happen early here in the year so that he can figure out what he needs to figure out. And I think Florida State, and Norvell has shown that he'll do this, I think Florida State is going to try and force feed him the ball against Boston College. And I think that's what they need to do. I think they need to put him in that spot. I think they need to put him in the fire again. Keon Coleman's going to get double teamed all year this year. Johnny Wilson's going to have a lot of favorable matchups. He's an excellent route runner, especially for his size. He gets open better than anybody. That's what's so frustrating about the drops is you're like, dude, there's nobody within 10 yards of you, man. You're such a good route runner. Like, just finish the play. But I'd go right back to him, and I would get his confidence up. I would absolutely force feed him the ball against Boston College, get his confidence back up, and have him ready to go for Clemson. If he continues to go the other way, then you have your answer, right? You have a lot of capable guys in that room, and you kind of know who and where and what you can rely on. Disappointing a little bit from him last night, but again, I think you go right back to him. Norvell, one of the plays of the year that kind of stands out to me from last year is when he chewed out Deuce Spann, and then the very next play, he went right back to him on a swing pass. And so I'd like to see that with Johnny. I'd imagine you'll see that with Johnny. That's just kind of Norvell's MO, and so I think we'll see improvement there. I think that, they do a lot of work. Kid will be on the jugs machine a ton this week, and I think he'll bounce back against BC. And then I think you really need him against Clemson. I think you get his confidence back against Boston College. You force feed him, have him make some big plays, and then against Clemson, he goes for like 3 touchdowns. So let's go with that.
Yeah, I think in the script against BC, you definitely set him for a slant, right? Something easy. Just let him catch the ball. Hopefully he does. And once he does, it's game over at that point because nobody in college can defend this man, right? He is so good, so talented at 6'7", so athletic. It's ridiculous. And you were talking about, Barker and Hussey at safety. You know who did not have a great game yesterday? Jalen Key from Alabama. He got abused. Florida State fans will remember him because we wanted him. Didn't work out, but it was kind of nice seeing him. I don't never wish ill on a college kid, but it was interesting to see. But yeah, I think Florida State, if you get Johnny Wilson right, which you should, and he knows he's capable of, Mike Norvell can turn on film and say, look, you're catching these passes. Like, this isn't hard. You can do this. Yeah, we're in good shape. And I just think this week is a tune-up for what could potentially be the last test of the season against Clemson. And if you leave September 4-0, this team is going to the College Football Playoff. We might drop a game somewhere where we shouldn't, but they're still going to the College Football Playoff at that point. So these next 2 weeks are extremely important and extremely exciting if you're a Florida State fan.
I have a question for you, Richie. If I was guaranteeing you that we go 12-0, and I say that you can pick any team that you want to play in the ACC championship, of the teams that could theoretically make it, right? You can't pick Boston College. Yeah. You could pick any team that you want that could theoretically make it. So you'd have Duke. I guess Clemson could still sneak in if there was some chaos. So Duke, Clemson, UNC, Miami, Louisville, Pittsburgh. Would you rather play UNC or Louisville, which you haven't played yet? Or would you rather play one of those teams that I just mentioned a second time in a rematch?
Give me Duke because I think they are very well coached, but I think Mike Norvell is the better coach. I think the reason Duke is going to give people trouble this year is because they have a phenomenal coach in Elko. But I think Mike Norvell is the better coach, and Mike Norvell also has the better players. So that's what it comes down to for me. You have a significant talent edge. And while I think Elko may be a top three coach in the league, I think Mike Norvell's better. I really do. And that's why I'm taking Duke, because taking Miami or Clemson, you might just have a week, might just have one Saturday where you just, their athletes take over and there's just nothing you can do about it. That's not going to happen with Duke. With Duke, if you're disciplined and play the way you're supposed to, and we'll see it later this season, Florida State's going to win that game big. And I think they do it again in Charlotte if that's what it comes to.
Yeah, I think I'd lean Duke. I don't love the idea of a rematch. I might look at Louisville. I don't think I want UNC because, like, you could have Drake May just going off. Yeah. I don't think I want Miami because they do have a lot of talent, even though I think you're much better than them. You don't want Clemson again. I don't think you want Pittsburgh again. Now, if you go beat Pittsburgh by like 40, maybe I would change my mind. But if that's the case, Pittsburgh's probably fallen out of it anyway. Again, Louisville might be one that I look at. And then, you know, but I agree with you. I think it's Duke. I think Duke's been impressive. I think the Duke-Notre Dame game is going to be a ton of fun to watch before we have to play them. But I like the Noles to win that pretty comfortably. All right, a couple more questions on injuries, and then we'll get out of here. So there was a question on Kentron. Still banged up, as far as I know. I had heard that, you know, he was getting a little bit closer, but just not ready yet. And then, I mean, Douglas was in a sling. They showed him on the broadcast in a sling. When he was hurt with 2 weeks to go before the game, I was told it was a few weeks. Obviously, that could be anything from 3 to 6 to 8. So not season ending by any means, but I would expect Ja'Kai back a little bit later in the year. I'd love it for Clemson, but I just don't know. I don't know if it'll be that quick or not. I think it might be after that time frame. So get through to Clemson. Hey, Richie, we were talking about those offensive linemen and Dent and stuff like that that are a little bit banged up. Man, if you can get them to Clemson and they can be ready to go for that game, it's nice that they have 15 days off before they have to play, or 14 days off before they have to play again. It's nice having that little bye week after Clemson. You get the bye week to really refocus. You get the bye week to, if you've won, really sit back and, as fans, I don't really know that I want the team doing this, but as fans, sit back and just kind of talk all the crap you want about
coasting,
how good you are.
Coasting at this point.
Coast for 2 weeks and roll with that. So, hey, we got a bunch of fun content coming this week for you. Make sure that you're subscribed for that. Clemson tailgate. Tickets are starting to move on that. Listen, I joked about it, not really joked, but I probably shouldn't have cried wolf on how, you know, it was going to be hard to get into Orlando. We got some stuff kind of hooked up in Orlando. We were able to take more people. We will not be able to take more people at Clemson. We have a 100-person cutoff, hard cutoff. Space up there is extremely limited. If you're planning on coming to the Clemson game and you don't have your tailgate tickets, you need to go get them now. I know that you guys like to wait till the last minute. I do the same thing. I always think like, oh, I can wait till the last second. You cannot. We are nearing halfway sold out. I promise those last 50 are going to go. What's probably going to happen is you guys are all going to wait until game week. You're probably all going to wait until first thing next week, and they're going to go like on Monday, and some of y'all are going to be texting and DMing me after that, and I'm going to be like, dog, I'm sorry. Clemson's jerks, and I can't squeeze anybody else in. So hopefully you get your tickets to that. The link is in the description, Eventbrite. Search Double Fries No Slaw, and the tickets are live. Richie, any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
No, it's been a fun first 2 weeks of the season. I'm excited for Boston College. And you mentioned it. Guys, get your Clemson tickets now because that is a fun, fun city. You know, the ACC doesn't have a ton of them. I've been to Clemson three times, went in 09, 11, and 13. 1-2 for Florida State, but the one was amazing, obviously, the 54-14 game or 17, whatever it was. But no, that is an amazing place to go to a college football game outside of Florida, and that tailgate is going to be awesome. So get those tickets while you can, y'all.
All right, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you guys for the support. We'll be back with some content this week that you guys will enjoy and you'll have a lot of fun with. So talk to you guys soon. Richie Harlan, thank you for hanging out tonight. Love you guys. Go Noles.